Welcome to another episode of the How to Save the World podcast, where we take a deep dive into the academic research and behavioural science of what really gets people to take pro-environmental action and behaviour. I'm your host, Katie Patrick. I'm an environmental engineer and a behaviour designer based in Silicon Valley, California, and I'm the author of the book How to Save the World. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the power of pledges. Now, a pledge is a promise. It's a commitment. In the behavioral psychology, they call it a commitment device. It's some way to make a promise or make some sort of act of trust between yourself or with another person. So a pledge could be writing down a note, I promise to do X, Y, or Z. You could do it online in some way. It could be a photo or a video of you promising to do something. And it usually works best when you are making that promise to another person where other people can actually see you making it. I wanted to record a podcast about pledges in particular because I think they are one of the most under-realized tools for trying to engage people into taking action and not just having a great time or a conversation and then leaving the experience or the event and never actually doing anything. The evidence in the behavioral literature on the power of pledges is just astonishing. You can get people's engagement in an action up by 30 or 70% by in something that's so simple, like writing down on a piece of paper, I commit to do whatever. And the theory behind this comes from understanding the value action gap. If you've been following me for a while, you probably know what the value action gap is. But if you're new here, the value action gap is a critically important thing to understand when you are designing for environmental or sustainability or climate engagement. And it is this. Most of us working in this space tend to have an unconscious bias or assumption that if we educate people with knowledge, we get everybody to know a whole lot more about the topics that we work on. And if we get people to care a lot more, then people will take action. So we spend a lot of time focusing on knowledge and environmental education, a lot of effort focused on the caring. But the thing is, the behavioral psychology research shows that if you boost people's amount of knowledge and caring by 20% or 100%, or people who are very, very knowledgeable and they care a lot, this just does not necessarily lead to a behavior change or taking an action or actually doing anything in the real world that can actually lead to measurable change. And when you're looking for easy, cheap, ready-to-access tools that you can use to bridge the value action gap, the pledge is the place to start. Let me share some examples of different formats of pledges or commitment devices that you can use. One of my favorites is giving people a piece of paper about an A4 or a letter size and asking them to write down one specific action or behavior that they want to take that's got to do with your cause, and ask them to write it down and then take a selfie with that, or you take a photograph of them, and then you can share that photo on social media. Now, you don't even have to share these pledges with anybody. They work even if the person just writes them alone by themselves and puts their pledge in a drawer. That's how powerful they are. But so you want to get somebody, ideally, to write down a commitment or a promise on a piece of paper, really writing it by hand. It doesn't seem to work as well online as it does when you write it. Making it big enough to be some sort of poster that you can put on the wall. And then you really, really enhance the process. If you can take a photo of them and share it on social media, share it with them. And then you enhance it even more if that photograph is public. When they study pledges, they find that when they actually put the names of the people who make the pledge in the local newspaper, they get about double the behavioral traction when people know that their pledge is made public. And I don't even know if people even read the newspaper. Just the idea that everyone is going to know about your pledge makes it really psychologically sticky. And the reason why pledges work so well, it's a critical thing to understand in behavior design, is that humans making a promise to another human, that trust bond we have between two people, is so deeply primordial in our brains. It is truly the fabric of how all humans work together in every social interaction. We need to have a sense of trust with the people around us. And the sense of trust can be incredibly simple. It is so baseline to our relationships, we don't even notice it. It could be, oh, I'm going to the cafe to get a cup of coffee. Let's walk together to get that cup of coffee. Maybe it's just across the road. And then what happens if the other person just started walking the other direction and just didn't do what they promised they would do, is walk with you? That would be really weird. But what if somebody said, I'm going to the store, do you want anything? And you'd say, yeah, like I want some broccoli. I was going to say eggs, and then I realized that wasn't vegan. Okay, something plant-based. And then they didn't come back with it. It's being forgetful, but it's also breaking promise. When you think about the tradition we have of marriage, marriage is making a big public promise as a way to keep people committed to their relationships. And they're common everyday things that we might not even see through the lens of promise or trust. But then when you think about the really big things, like a friend lies to you about something, your boss or employer tells you something that's explicitly a lie, or something in a romantic relationship, often those wounds, that breaking of trust, is so deep and so hurtful. The relationship between the two people can be doomed forever. Trust is one of our most fundamental, valuable personal attributes to our reputation that we will guard with all costs. Most people will. So when we tap into this idea of trust through something as simple as writing, I promise to use a bamboo toothbrush on a piece of paper, or I promise to turn up at a local council sustainability meeting, you are tapping into that same very powerful social mechanism. And you also need to realize that when people are writing down this commitment, it's not just about the trust. They're actually also writing down a goal, because it might be a commitment that will last for 7 days or 30 days, or it might involve a particular quantitative amount, like I want to do half of something or double something. So it's also a specific goal to achieve. So it activates our goal-seeking mechanism and our ability that we have to track progress towards a goal. So it's got all these behavioral mechanisms all working in our favor in this one very simple technique. And one of my clients and readers of my book, Colleen Hewson, did a really cool campaign using pledges that I have posted on my Instagram. And she was facing a problem in her community where there was sewage filled with plastic particles. And she was working on this campaign to try to get plastic off the beaches. And they kept finding all this plastic, like toothbrushes and cotton swabs or Q-tips, the plastic bit in the middle and the cotton on the ends that you clean your ears with, and dental flossing and those wishbone-shaped dental flossing thingies. And there were so many of these Q-tip or cotton bud stems coming up on the beaches. She just thought, people aren't littering this stuff. Like, this isn't coming from land-based litter. Like, where is it coming from? And then she discovered that it was all coming from sewage. So there was all this hard waste mixed up in the sewage that was going out into the ocean and then washing back onto the beaches. And so this was a campaign she put on. She got my book, How to Save the World, noticed that there's a section on pledges. And so she made this cutout of a fairy penguin. Fairy penguins are these small, very cute penguins that live on the beaches in the southern parts of Australia. And people could write their pledge for how they wanted to get rid of these cotton buds, or they would go plastic free, whatever the pledge said. And she photographed a lot of these, maybe 50 or 100 or even 200 of these local community members holding up this fairy penguin. And now Australians are very emotionally connected to our unique wildlife. We have these creatures in Australia that you can't get anywhere else in the world. And so holding up something like in the shape of a fairy penguin or any other type of Australian creature is a really strong emotional bond and identity there. And through using this really powerful visual mechanism infused with a bit of creativity, I could have just used a bit of paper, but it wouldn't have looked as good. The blackboard cutout really made it, these photos, visually interesting. She was able to garner enough support from the community to challenge and push the government and the water authority to fix up whatever they fixed up. I don't know exactly what they did, but they were managed to actually get rid of all of this plastic waste that was going out into the ocean. It's an incredibly inspiring success story. And who wouldn't want to try to campaign to clean the oceans and lobby the Water Authority government when you've got all these gorgeous fairy penguin cutouts and it all feels so fun and inspirational. So that's another way you can do it. If you're leading up to a specific campaign or an event or a piece of legislation that you want to get passed, come up with a cutout of something charismatic that people love. Just a shape, a creature or a house or a bird, something that people will emotionally connect to. Print out a whole bunch of them, or you can use a blackboard where you wipe it off and then people write it again. And then people write each one separately and then ask people if they would like to make a pledge and then photograph them and gather up all of these photographs. And if you are in a location where people are coming every day, like a workplace or a school or a dorm, really perfect locations for this, you can print out a photograph of every single person holding up their pledge, and you could make like a wall of like 30 people. Every single one of them walks through there every day, and then they see their pledge. They see everybody else's pledge too. That is cheap, easy. You could do it in a couple of hours with an inkjet printer and get all of these people to do this particular thing. And if you've only got a small group of maybe 4 people in your class or in your company that are into it, just start with a couple of people. Just start with 4 and then try to figure out who will be the 5th person, who will be the 6th person. This is the tipping point of how things change. And oh my God, if you haven't seen it already, look now, go on YouTube and look up how movements start for a very short 6-minute TED talk. I think most people have seen it, but if you haven't, you got to see it, where there's this music festival in Italy and there's this one guy who's dancing. He's doing quite a weird sort of dancing in the music festival, and everybody else is sitting down. So he's the one lone dancer. He's the lone nut. I think he calls him a lone nut. And if you're listening to my podcast, I think that you have probably felt like a lone nut plenty of times, like I have. But this one guy is just dancing, looking really weird. And then this like next person comes up and starts dancing along with him. And it's pretty slow to start. And then third one comes up, and then a fourth one. It's like taking a little while to build traction. And then a few more people come up. And then once there's about 15 people dancing, then suddenly everybody, like hundreds of people, they all just get up. And then they all just like race to the center of this one guy. And then everybody is dancing. And it is the best. It is the ultimate description of how these movements spread, is that there's this difficult, long, grisly time where you've got to get one person and then another and then another. And once you can reach that tipping point of kind of everybody else thinking, oh my God, we're the ones who are left out, then you'll get that wave happening. So bringing this back to pledges, even if you can get a few people to do it, like a few friends, and you don't have a whole classroom, just start with a few and just work on trying to get one after another until you can reach the point. Maybe it's like once you get to maybe 30 or 40% of everybody, where everyone else will feel like they're being left out. Just remember, there's that difficult time to get from the early enthusiasts to that wave, but hang in there. If you keep on it, it'll eventually happen. And a third way to do pledges that I have actually never seen done before. So last Earth Day, I made my own, and jump on Instagram to have a look at it, at Katie Patrick Hello. And it is, and oh my God, everybody should be doing this. Why aren't they everywhere? So easy. You know how when you're a kid and you go to some sort of festival type place, they have those things where you put your face in? It's usually like a wooden cutout, and you can put your face in, and then you're like an octopus or like some family or a robot or a monster. And then your parent will like take a photo of you with your face in the thing. And I thought, wow, if there's like anything that could work for pledges and for engagement, especially if there's kids involved, like why aren't we making more of these? Anyway, I put that in my book, just saying it was an idea that needed to be done. Been sitting on the idea for, I don't know, 8 years, I think. And then finally, last Earth Day, I was like, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it. I have to make one of these things. I have to make one of those, like, put your face in it, like, cut out things. So I went to Home Depot. I got this big bit of wood. I got this, like, saw thing I have and, like, cut a hole, like, in the middle. I don't have, like, a full fancy jigsaw to make a full, like, fancy, like, cut out. But then I printed off, just on my little inkjet printer, a big Earth and stuck it all with glue. It's a bit of a home done thing, but now I've done the rough, sketchy prototype. I can next time upgrade to making a more professional looking one. And then I put it up. But here's the subtle thing that you want to get right. So your three-dimensional cutout thing, whether it's a whale or an earth or a sun or a solar panel with eyes, a solar panel with a face, why not? Is that instead of it just being a fun, interactive, playful thing, which would probably fall down the value action gap, what you want to do is to make sure that people are able to write their pledge on the thing. And this is what makes it a bit different to just a normal kind of like fun activity. And I pulled out my big board with the face cut out of the earth, and the earth had like arms and legs. And I set it up at the Cupertino Earth Day Festival, and it worked. Kids were coming up with their parents. They'd be like, oh, look, do you want to go into the earth and put your face into the hole? And I would say to them, I'd say, yeah, but what you need to do is you need to write down a promise of something that you're going to do for the earth. I had a panel that I'd painted with blackboard paint and some chalk. And the kids had to write what they would do, and then they would walk around and get photographed, and it totally worked. They'd write down things like, I want to plant trees, or I'll use less plastic. Perfectly reasonable actions. So they were doing that thing of writing down the pledge and being photographed, just augmented and snazzed up by this three-dimensional cutout that I'd created. And you could do so much that was fun and creative with this idea. One tip, though, I think to do it better next time was to not use the blackboard and the chalk, because then every time somebody wrote down a pledge, they walked away and they didn't have anything with them. I think it would be better to have like a notepad type of thing on the front of the, what are we going to call it? A cutout pledge mechanism where kids or people could write down their promise or their pledge, and then they tear it off, then they take it with them. So they've got that reminder, and then hopefully they'll put it on their fridge, or it'll float around their universe for a little while to help that behavior stick in. And if you want to get really fancy with the marketing, you can take photos of the kids, take photos of people in it, use a QR code, use it to sign people up for some type of program, email people their photos so you've got their contact details. If you're using it as some sort of lead generation for something else, the first time I saw this idea done, it was a marketing tool. It was promoting a skincare product line, and they had all of these really cool big B artworks, and you put your face in the B artwork and they would photograph you, send you your photo, and use that as a way to send you a message on Instagram to try their new bee product. And I thought it was really cool. And I thought, this stuff is so easy to do. Why don't we do it all the time? So pledges, get somebody to make a promise, make it specific, write it down on a piece of paper, photograph them, make it public. Use this as your way to engage people. Do it until you can get that type of tipping point of change with a group where you've got the people who aren't doing it feeling like they're left out. That is the secret to making the tipping point happen, to make the change seem normal. And make it as creative as possible. The more fun it is, the more creative, the more colorful, the more unique ideas you can put onto this. It's something that people can really enjoy and really be a part of. And it stands out on social media. It's more emotionally resonant with the people that you're trying to convince to change. And it just makes it just more fun in general. I mean, the tagline of my book is literally how to make saving the earth the greatest game we've ever played. And it is to me. I think sustainability is awesome and really fun. And if you take it on like a game, like a creative adventure, like a way to do the most interesting creative work you can, then it is really fun. And it's not a whole like doom, giving up, blah, 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 world's gonna die thing. It's not like that at all. It's like, how can we make transforming the planet just an incredibly fun, awesome adventure? That's what it should be. It should be like that. So thank you for listening. I hope you get to try out Pledge. Please have a look at Colleen's work. Go to my Instagram at katiepatrickhello. Look for the penguin and look for my not that well done, but not a bad prototype version of the Earth Pledge face cutout thing. And try your own. Go and try your own. Make something. Do it. Share it with me on Instagram. I'd love to see. And of course, if you love this podcast, you can give it a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And also make sure you follow and rate on Spotify if that's where you listen to podcasts. I always love to hear from you. You can DM me on any of the social media platforms, on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter are the three ones I use. And if you can, share this podcast with anyone else who works in sustainability and is trying to get some more traction with engagement and actions. All of the techniques that we explore in this podcast, evidence-based, tested with rigorous peer-reviewed academic research. They're theories that tap into the core neuroscience of how the human organism works. And when we're trying to roll out sustainable change off thousands of people, we cannot do it if we don't understand the psychology of how humans adopt new things and the psychology of change. And this is why the content in this podcast is just absolutely critical to get out to everybody who works in climate and sustainability. Because if you don't know this type of content, like, we're working with blinders on, we're working in the dark, we're working at 10% of the level of efficacy that we could be working at. And this stuff really works when you get a chance to implement it. I am blown away about how powerful pledges are. Ever I've tried it, it was just like an instant key in the lock. Like, oh, somebody wrote down the pledge, boom, they've done this new thing forever. Really, really amazing. Try it and let me know how it goes. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.